This is SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
You had best sound off that you love the Virgin Mary, or I'm going to stomp your guts out. Now, you do love the Virgin Mary, don't you?
Sir, negative, sir!
Private Joker, are you trying to offend me?
Sir, negative, sir! Sir, the private believes that any answer he gives will be wrong, and the senior drill instructor will beat him harder if he reverses himself, sir!
Who's your squad leader, scumbag?
Sir, the private squad leader is private...
Patrick Creighton.
Outline right now. Well, he covers the Vikings for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. He's also the managing editor for Mazin Brew. He covers Michigan for SB Nation. Anthony Broom joins us on the hotline right now. What's up, Anthony? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Good to be here. Glad that it's under positive circumstances for Michigan.
So, your Wolverines here are, well, they've had an interesting run to get to this final game with a kind of a heck of a comeback here against Loyola. How do they find themselves? I mean, they got off to the hot start. Then they find themselves down 10, not just once, but twice in the second half, and win by 12. Like, just the roller coaster here. How do you put that into perspective?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, and I kind of put out some thoughts at halftime on it, I did not have any answers, just like it didn't look like they had any answers in the first half. I thought, you know, they were the better team throughout that game, but the shots weren't falling. I felt at some point that the talent would kind of win out. You know, they were having great success inside with guys like Wagner. And, you know, it seemed like once they were willing to kind of take it to the basket and not just exclusively jack up threes and, you know, try and – it seemed like they were at points where they were down 7 or 8 or even 10 that – you know, the three-point shot would come as if that shot alone would get them, you know, the 8 points back or whatever. So, I still kind of don't know how to explain it, but that's what they found themselves in. And, you know, even when you look at the box score, if you had turned your TV off when they were down 10 and then looked at the box score after the game and saw they won by 12, I'm not sure how you'd really explain it other than they just kind of got hot and turned it on late.
Now, this has been a tournament here for Michigan where, really, with the exception of the A&M game where, you know, they scored 99 points, every other game has been, whether you want to call it a defensive struggle or you want to call it, you know, 1930s offense or a combination thereof, Michigan's played, you know, now 4 out of 5 games here where it's kind of been a, you know, let's muck it up, let's play a lot of hard defense and try to score enough points to win. How does that compare with regular season Michigan?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, a John Beilein team is always going to be high-powered offensively. They're going to have the ability to hit shots from the outside. But, you know, this is – I don't want to say it's not the worst offensive team that John Beilein has ever had, but, you know, when you think about the better teams that he's had, the 2013 team, the 2014 team, they don't quite have that type of firepower offensively. So, but it was better throughout the year, and obviously they were hot coming into the tournament. And we've seen, you know, what they've been able to do when they're firing on all cylinders, like that A&M game, like a game at Maryland late in the season, you know, even twice against Michigan State, you know, throughout the season too. So it's one of those things where I think – at some point, I think water kind of finds its level. When you're super hot, chances are you're going to be super cold or at least kind of even out the next day or so. So, you know, their style is kind of all year. I mean, the one constant all year is that they've been able to win these games with defense. And it's obviously in 4 of the 5 games, it's had to come down to that for them. And when you look at it, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it here in a minute or so, but when you look at this matchup tomorrow night against a very high-powered offensive team, probably the best offensive team in the country, it's going to have to be that defense. And I think that even when they've had rough nights offensively, the defense has been there. So I don't expect that to change for them.
Now, the Ramblers went almost 5 minutes without scoring a point in the second half, really from the 9:19 mark where they take a 47-42 lead. Their next point does not come until 4:44 remaining, and they're down 54 49. Now, there are a lot of turnovers in that, you know, 4 minutes and change there. Was this Michigan defense, or was this Ramblers just coming apart at the seams?
Yeah, well, when you talk about like a 22-point swing, when we look at, you know, being down 10 to winning by 12, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, the defense, obviously, I think the defense alone could have got Michigan out of there with a close win still, but I think Loyola, I don't want to say the moment got too big for them, but, you know, it became pretty apparent that they didn't quite have the horses to keep up with Michigan and with the athletes that Michigan has. So, like I said, I think it's a little bit of both there. I give them all the credit in the world. They're well coached. They were ready to play. And, you know, until about halfway through that second half, I think a lot of Michigan fans were kind of like saying to themselves, all right, well, if this is it, like, is this a failure of a season if we lose to Cinderella? And obviously, you know, it didn't, you know, it was a pretty big turn of events from there. But, you know, I think when you get this, you make a run like that this deep in the tournament, eventually, like I talked about before, water finds its level. I just think that Loyola hadn't seen a team that had the athletes that Michigan has, that plays defense the way Michigan has. And, you know, I think a couple more, they had a couple misses on what looked like some easy shots. And, you know, who knows, maybe they hit a few of those and the game's a little closer and we're having a different conversation today. But I think it was a combination of the Michigan defense and the moment finally just kind of running out for Cinderella.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and, you know, talking to Anthony Broom, he covers Michigan for Mason Brew, SB Nation. And, you know, we talk so many times about Cinderella and what makes Cinderella in the NCAA tournament. And usually, if a team can get really hot from three, they can rise up and you get upsets. In the last game against Kansas State, Loyola was 9 of 18 from behind the arc. Against Michigan, they were 1 of 10. They just couldn't hit. And, you know, to me, if you're Cinderella and all of a sudden your shots stop falling, that glass slipper is broken.
Oh, for sure. That was what was going to keep them in this game and give them a chance to win the game, was what they're able to do from the three-point line. I think Michigan and Loyola, at least in terms of style of play, sort of mirrored each other coming into the game in that regard. So, you know, whoever was able to kind of shut the three-point line down was going to have the edge going forward in that contest. So, again, you know, I know there's the Cinderella tag on Loyola and what they did, but, you know, with all due respect to them as well, I mean, they were labeled an underdog, but that's a team that won 32 games this year. So that's a very good basketball team. And even if you look at them as an 11 seed, I feel like they may have even been underseeded. It's easy to say that now, but, you know, even coming into this tournament, they were kind of an early upset pick, you know, even coming into this whole thing. So, you know, I don't want to just give them the Cinderella label, because sometimes I feel like that comes with the connotation that, you know, this team has no business being there. No, they played very well all year and then kind of went on, you know, got hot and went on a little run, and it just kind of ran out for them. So, you know, I'm very impressed with what we saw out of them.
Now, and like we said, you know that most of these Michigan teams, you know, on the bill, and they usually have really good offenses. Well, you're about to play for the national title against the team that might have the best offense in college basketball in Villanova. They are an excellent three-point shooting team. Do you expect Michigan to try to play offense against Villanova, or are they going to try to muck it up the way that they've done here in the tournament so far against most of their opponents?
Yeah, I think for them, I think the play here is mucking it up. I don't think that you want to get into a track meet with a team like Villanova. And mind you, like we saw in that Texas A&M game, like Michigan can put up points with anyone when they're on. But they haven't, you know, it takes a pretty Herculean effort to be on like that all the time. And like we've talked about before, you know, four of these five games in the tournament haven't been the best offensive performance. Villanova's coming off of, you know, maybe the best offensive performance of the entire tournament so far against the Kansas team. You know, if water finds its level there, Villanova cools off a little bit, Michigan gets a little bit hotter than they have been, we've got ourselves a game here. But I think the play, as it's been all along, as it's been through this whole tournament, is, you know, kind of shut them down at the 3-point line. And if you take away, you know, that perimeter shot, and you're not, like I said, you don't want to get into a track meet with them. So I think the play is to muck it up. And I think that I expect that to be the case tomorrow.
Is there going to be a lot of feeding of Mo Wagner? Is that going to be, you know, hey, let's just go to our guy, big down low, and just pound and pound and pound?
Yeah, in theory, that's what you'd want to do. The thing here, and I think the matchup that may just end up determining this entire game, is what Wagner does against Omari Spellman. So if those two, whatever damage one of those guys does against the other, I think that's going to play a big part in who wins this game. Because I actually think that both teams will be able to kind of shut down the high-powered offenses. And I do expect it to be a lower-scoring game. You know, you see Michigan and Villanova. A lot of people are going to come into this expecting, a high-paced, a track meet, whatever cliche you want to throw out there. But, you know, I think that it's going to come down to those two bigs, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's you know, you don't want to say that Michigan's a Cinderella and time may be up for them, but this is the one matchup that I think scared people the most.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's funny because, you know, you talk about, you know, teams being underseeded, and Michigan hasn't faced a team seeded higher than 6 in the entire tournament here, but now they're going to get number 1 in Villanova. What is your prediction for the game?
Yeah, well, a couple weeks ago, I predicted that Michigan would win the national title. I think at this point, for me, it would be foolish to kind of walk back from that. I know, and people will say Michigan hasn't played anyone, and the road has been easy, but, you know, you just look at the teams that they've kind of beat throughout the year. It's, you know, they've beaten Michigan State twice. They've beaten Purdue. They played Purdue really tough all 3 times they played. And the way that they're coached and the way that there's just something about this team. You know, it may not be the flashiest group that Michigan's ever had, but they do have that it factor, and they bring it on the defensive side of the floor. So I'm not going to walk away from that. I predicted them to win the national title since the brackets came out. Really kind of even started feeling that way somewhere along the line in the Big Ten tournament. So I'm going to go with them. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pound on the table and say, you know, it's a guarantee, but we've ridden it out this long. So I'm going with Michigan. I think it's going to be a great game, a great defensive basketball game. I'm not expecting anyone to be lighting up the stat sheets or anything like that. So I'm going to go with Michigan. I'm confident about that. But like I said, this is the toughest matchup they could have had, and it's just another test for them. Villanova's the last team kind of in their way here. So.
Anthony Broome covers Michigan. He's the editor for Mason Brew, covering Michigan for SB Nation. He also covers the Vikings for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Anthony T. Broome. Anthony, appreciate your time today. Happy Easter to you and the family. We'll catch up soon.
All right. Sounds good. Happy Easter.
All right. Anthony Broome with us on the hotline. And I'll tell you what, Michigan's gone farther than I thought they would have gone. I didn't think they'd gone this far.
Well, I don't think Michigan overall has played all that great in the tournament. They had the one good game where they were just hitting every shot against A&M. Other than that, I've seen glimpses where, I mean, you can't go through, if you're going to play a team, especially like Villanova, you can't go 3-4 minutes without scoring, because they will run you out of the gym.
No, they'll score 17 points in 3 minutes. So, I know we're going to have a guest from Villanova come on later on, so I don't want to spill all my beans before we do that. So I'll keep that in the pocket for now. You know, the internet is unforgiving, Tubbsy. The internet is unforgiving. And the internet not only has none to give, but it didn't even have any to give for Sister Jean. And we'll get to that next.